Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 208 of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I'm your host, Kim Schlag. On today's episode, you're going to get to hear a transformation story. Felicity is from Canberra, Australia, so you're going to get to enjoy that amazing Australian accent for the entirety of the episode. She has her master's degree in positive psychology, with the focus of her study being on what impacts well-being during the menopause transition. She also volunteers as a host of menopause cafes live in Canberra and is part of the worldwide Menopause Cafe charity. I was unaware that this organization even existed before meeting Felicity, but the aim of the Menopause Cafes is to break down the stigma around menopause and increase awareness of the impact of menopause on those experiencing it, their family, friends, and their colleagues. People share their experiences with no intention of leading someone to any conclusion, product, or course of action. I'm going to pop a link in the show notes if you're interested to see, is there a live menopause cafe being hosted near you, or if you want to check out one of the virtual menopause cafes. Felicity joined the fall 2023 round of my Fitter After 40 program, and let me tell you, she put in the work physically, mentally, emotionally to make an incredible transformation. The episode you're about to hear, Felicity and I recorded at the end of November, and I saved it to share with you now. So I'm going to do a bit of an update on where she's at currently. She has lost another 10 pounds and an additional 13 inches on top of the 16.9 pounds and 16 inches she lost during the 8 weeks of Fitter After 40. Her transformation gains are equally as incredible. I got absolutely chills recently reading a post that she just made in the Aging Stronger Society, which is our Fitter After 40 alumni group. No, I do not just drop you after the 8 weeks of Fitter After 40. So I'm going to quote her post here. Quote, I urgently needed personal branding photos and headshots for my business. Yesterday I had them done, and here are some of my favorites. And then she proceeds to share 10 photos where her joy and confidence are literally leaping off the page. Like, you could feel joy just radiating from those pictures. She continues on her post, look how happy I am. There is no way I'd have been able to do this shoot at the beginning of Fitter After 40 last September. Now I look at these photos knowing, like, I still have 22 pounds I want to lose. And I love, love, love what I look like and the strength and passion within me. Ah, can you imagine what it would be like to see yourself in pictures and feel so confident and so radiant? Can you imagine what it would feel like to be joyful in your body? Come listen in as Felicity describes what her transformation process has been like. What exactly did she do? What struggles did she face? What helped her navigate the hurdles? As you listen, I want you to imagine yourself in the story. Imagine your own transformation. How will you feel? What habits will you have built? What will you be able to do that you can't do now? Now, two announcements before we jump into the episode. Announcement one, waitlist presale for the spring round of Fitter After 40 goes live on Tuesday, April 2nd. That is just 5 days away. If you are ready to make a transformation of your own, join the hundreds of women over 40 who have lost pounds and inches and gained strength and peace of mind with my 8-week online program, Fitter After 40. Get on the waitlist now so you don't miss a thing when doors open. Spoiler alert, if you join from the waitlist, you get a sizable discount and an exclusive bonus. You can get more info at the link in the show notes. Announcement number two, I am hosting a brand new free workshop, Exercise for Fat Loss Over 40, Your Core 4 Training Priorities. If you are even a little curious if your workouts could be more effective, definitely come. By the end of the hour-long workshop, you're going to be 100% confident that you know the main driver of fat loss, the two most common exercise mistakes, and how to eliminate them. You're going to know, should you be training differently in midlife? How do age and menopause impact your body in relation to exercise? What are the core four training priorities that will transform your body, boost your metabolic health, and help you age with vitality? Link to register for the free workshop is also going to be in the show notes. You do not want to miss the show notes, my friend. That's what I'm saying. All right, on to the episode. Felicity, hi. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
From all the way across the world.
I am. I'm in Canberra, Australia, which for some of those who may not know, is actually the capital of Australia.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it's tiny in comparison. It's just over 400,000 people. And it's Very similar in terms of the purpose as a city to Washington or Ottawa, is that it's purpose built for to be the seat of the federal government. And that's where the federal government sits. So, yeah.
Well, we are going to especially enjoy this conversation because we all get to listen to your lovely accent. So, before we jump into talking about fitness, let's get to know you a little bit as a person. So, besides being from Canberra, Australia, tell us a little bit about you.
Okay, so I'm 56, which will become important along the way. I love spending my time with my dog, Bruno, who I'm really hoping won't make an appearance today. Back in 2020, which I'll come back again, I'm sure, is I started a master's of applied positive psychology, which is the science of well-being. And my focus was all around about menopause, well-being through menopause. And so I finished that late last year. And then I did a bit more study this year in terms of how a menopause, like well-being experiences, pathways represented in menopause self-help books. And I finished that up, and I'm still doing some research on that and continuing other research I want to do. But I'm also setting up menopause cafes here. I'm
Wait, say that
also.
again. You're setting up menopause cafes?
Yeah,
Tell us about that.
menopause cafes is actually comes from the UK. There's this woman whose name I'm not going to remember, apologies, has set up menopause cafes where it's where women just host, usually in a cafe, a place where women and men and anyone can come and talk about their menopause experience, and that's all they do. Is talk about it. There's no, it's not a presentation that can happen either side, but it's literally going, oh my God, I'm feeling like this, that, and the other. It's not a place or a cafe where you give advice saying you should try this. It's very much about just hearing and listening to the experiences of someone else and say, well, and also going, oh my goodness, well, I found this works for me or worked for me when I was doing it.
So I'm assuming this is coming out of your study that you've done that you see value in this. So tell me about that. Like, what is the big value? I mean, I can tell you what I would see valuable about that. But from an academic perspective, what is valuable about this kind of place?
It's that social connection element of it is really important. So, from part of the research shows is that the more we have an ability to connect and be able to share our stories about menopause and actually, I'm going to use a term which I don't necessarily like, but I can't find another one at the moment, but normalize our experiences. And I don't like the term normalize so much because each of our experiences is really unique for many different reasons. But research shows absolutely clearly that the more social support that a woman has about going through it, their experience can be eased. Their quality of life during the menopause is improved. That's just one of the elements. Such as it is like with the one limited study that I've been able to find so far, and there may be more that have been recently published, the more a woman's partner knows about menopause and they share their experiences, the better her experience is as well. So
Wow.
I
Well,
love
this is
it.
fantastic that you get to be, kind of spearheading this in your home country of having these menopause cafes. That is not something that I've ever heard of in my local area. I don't know if that even exists in the United States. Are you aware?
I'm not, but the great thing is that it's got such a strong following in the UK that you could set it up in the US, and it's basically and like it's got great guidelines. And I was setting it up myself anyway, and then I found out about it. And then I found out I could actually set up one of those under their umbrella here in Australia. So that's why I've done it. Just show off
Fantastic.
the greatness.
For those who are in Australia or in the UK, we can drop in the show notes details about how to find a place like this. So you and I can talk about that offline, and we'll put that in the show notes. So, because I have plenty of listeners from those places.
Right.
Okay, so you're heavily in the menopause space. You live in Australia. You have this amazing dog. I feel like we've gotten to know a little bit about Felicity, the human being. And I do want to hear your story in terms of fitness from the beginning. Before we get there, though, let's just tell the listeners how far you've come. All right, so they kind of see where this story is heading. So you joined us for the fall round of Fitter After 40. So that started in September, went 8 weeks. Tell us the results that you achieved. Like, give us some raw numbers, but also tell us about other mindset shifts and lifestyle, those kinds of things as well.
Sure. So for the US and North American peeps, I lost 16.75 pounds or 7.6 kilos. And in terms of inches around in my body, 16.9 inches or just over 50 centimeters. And that's from various parts of my body.
Those
So
are
that was
incredible
amazing.
numbers, like incredible. Like, losing 16.75 pounds in 8 weeks is phenomenal. And we're going
And
to
I
come back
really
later
wanted
and talk
to,
about how you did that.
yeah, but I also really want to say to now, while I remember it, I didn't feel it. I just did the work. I did the program. So, which we will, I know we will go into it. So, I'm equally as surprised, by the way. I didn't think it.
And then tell us some more about other things you achieved outside of just the inches and the pounds, which is incredible. And a lot of people do come to me and join that program specifically for that. But what I so often find as what people are most excited about, what they're really proud about, is not necessarily those numbers.
Yeah. I. Loving the fact of gaining more of an understanding now about my, just the food that really energizes me. I
Love
love
that.
the fact from, I'm going to go between food and physicality and mental. I love the fact that I can now get up from kneeling without needing to use my hands,
Oh, that is such
which
a
is a
cool
huge
thing.
one.
That is such an amazing thing. We take that for granted when we're younger, and it's not till people have gotten to a point where they're out of shape and they're like, wow, I can't do that. And we start looking into the future thinking, like, I need to be able to get up from the ground as an older person. And it feels like it is such an accomplishment when you can build that strength to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had a few injuries last year where I was in a moon boot for months and months, it felt like. And then I had a hip flexor. So, and that was all on that same side of the body. And so now to be able to do it, I'm so happy. I love the fact from a food perspective, just more mental clarity. And trust me, I still have a little bit of alcohol, I still have a bit of sweets, and other things. But that's a, such a joy. I'm loving that I had already started doing strength training before starting Fitter After 40. But I'm loving now that recognizing I can lift heavier than what I ever thought about. I
Yeah.
have more strength. I love, I'm loving the ability to gain an understanding through you about what's the right form. And that's brilliant. I never knew the importance about what protein has in my life. And now if I have a low protein day, oh my God, I can feel it from an energy perspective. So much, so much.
Wow, you have
From a
really
mindset.
come so far.
Yeah, I think the big one, and I know I shared this a bit in the Facebook group, but it was just my, like, the perfectionism trait. And what is that? And the academic in me has now gone into, and the researcher in me has now gone into reading more about what is perfection. But It's the thing of if I don't get my calories exactly right, if I don't get my, if I'm not, do everything exactly right, I'm not going to lose weight. That was where I was coming from, and I have to do it. And I was adding so much pressure and stress into it. And I'm here to tell everyone is that there is definitely proof in the pudding in terms of you eat your pudding. And if you don't do everything 100%, I look how much weight I lost, and I did it. And that just gave me so much freedom. And trust me, I was still pretty consistent. I was still doing my everything that I needed to do as part of the program. But I lost it. So that blows my mind. And you guys kept saying that.
And that's definitely a point I want to come back to in a little bit, when we talk about like how you did this, but the idea of learning that you could eat these foods, you could have pudding and stuff, and you were incredibly consistent while doing that. And that's how you lost over 16 pounds and 16 inches, right? And how you will be able then to transition to maintenance without having to totally revamp how you're eating, because we didn't take you to some crazy restrictive place. So very exciting. So tell us, give us some backstory about you in terms of your fitness, in terms of your weight. Is this been something that you struggled with most of your life or more newly in midlife? Give us some background there.
I grew up in a family that was generally pretty active, but I was the youngest of five, and life was busy. We'd all go swimming. We all learned how to swim together. But in comparison with the other kids, my brothers and sisters, I wasn't the natural athlete. I felt, based in what it was, and did, just did stuff. But that was okay. We're always out doing things, but my preference was to, find a quiet place in the house and read a book for as long as I could escape from being, found to do chores. But unfortunately, our life took a little bit of a really, well, it took a huge sad turn, is that when I was 12, one of my brothers died unexpectedly. And that's when I really started emotionally eating. So, and then puberty hit, for the family, how to, I suppose really to survive that point in time was really, really hard. So I pretty well just started putting on weight all the way through, until I was kind of ended up being in my early 20s, similar weight to what I was when I started this program. And then what I did is, and I knew it. And if I look back now, I would have been depressed, but we didn't really talk about that at that time. Like, it wasn't really of that. Because what are we talking about? Early 90s. So my mum said something to me. My mum never said those sorts of things. Like, my mum goes, "I'm really worried." She was the sort of person who you could go and chat with, but was rarely one to give advice unless we explicitly asked her. So as a result of that, ended up going and seeing a dietitian, which was great. Generally, I ate really well, with the exception of my love of chocolate. And probably too much. I am such a sweet tooth. So through that, lots of exercise, but it was mainly looking at portion and just doing lots of just walking and those sorts of things and swimming. And I lost the weight. So I would have gotten down to what I consider probably a healthy weight, which would be around about the one, what would it be? I'm 5 foot 3, maybe 140s, like, 140 pounds, or around about 64 or 65 kilos. So that's what I did. And then I kind of went, kept being really active for quite a while, up until, yoga, walking, swimming, lots of different things. And I even started jogging, which made me laugh. I never thought I would be a jogger. I used to jog 15 kilometers. Who is this woman? So I want to come back to that, see if we can remember, and if we don't,
Make a
well, I
note.
kind of have to, make a note. So that was great. And then 2020, 2020 came along, and we all know what happened in 2020. There was, a little bit of a global pandemic.
A little
We a
bit.
little bit of a global pandemic. I started my master's, which then ran remotely. One of my siblings had a major health thing happen. And I started emotionally eating again. So when you have all of that going on, and we were pretty lucky here in Canberra. We are called the bush capital for a reason. As Kim would know, I often, well, not often, but I sometimes send photos of me and the kangaroos I come across on my walks.
It blows my mind. It will never not be exciting to me. Felicity comes into our FAF alumni group and we'll just share just out on her walk, just like I walk in my neighborhood. She's off walking and she's seeing kangaroos. Kangaroos. It's just the rest of us who are in North America and in Europe are just like, this is crazy.
But it's the same for me with deers and other
Yes.
things
And I do
that.
think about you sometimes because there's deer are just everywhere where I'm at. And so now when I
Yeah.
see deer, I'm like, I need to appreciate the fact that Felicity all the way across the world would be like, that's amazing. It's a deer.
It is. So, and I can pinpoint the time absolutely when I started emotionally eating again. And
Tell
like,
us.
absolutely. It was in my, I was in the hospital with my sister, and she was just getting all of these sweets, and I just started eating. It was such a stressful time, and I literally just, not only for her, but what was going on, and my response to it as well. So actually, to be really, I might as well, this does play into it, so I might as well just share. So my nana, we think my mum and my eldest sister all had breast cancer and all died from it. And my sister was in hospital after being diagnosed with precancerous cells and was going through treatment and stuff for that. So that was just, it was just triggering on so many levels in that approach.
Understandably.
Yeah. So and then it was just like people were just making the food that I really love. And normally, like, I can normally say no to other stuff, but this was just, oh my God, my aunt's life. Anyway, that ballooned. Being here, studying, not going out, not, going into work or anything, working remotely if when I was working, but being in really stressful situations, being perimenopausal myself, going back to academic study, which I hadn't done since the 1990s, so learning how to do all of that again. Of course, during my studies, finding out that one of the really good things to do when you're going through perimenopause is reduce your stress. And I decided just to pile it on instead,
Yeah.
which my menopause doctor had actively encouraged not to do. But I'm a woman, I can do anything, So there was all of that. And then in 2021, I got, so it started slowly putting it on, but not badly, badly, not too much managing it. But then in 2021, I got diagnosed with something unusual on one of my ovaries. So ended up having, which thankfully was benign, nothing there, but ended up having my ovaries out and a total hysterectomy. So that then also led to recovering from the surgery, but then the emotions around it, and then going straight into postmenopause, which thankfully I knew what was may happen through my study, but the experience of it is still there.
Yeah.
And eating. And then that's where, of course, immediately seeing the shift of where my weight went. So I never used to hold weight on my belly. So it was always my thighs and my boobs. So, and just seeing that, and it just increased. And I just, sedentary and how to get out of it. And then a few injuries. And it felt like every time I started exercising, I'd get an injury or there'd be, yeah. So it was kind of like this vortex of it, which I knew that I needed to do something and change. And then I would had started going and doing weights because I wanted to go bushwalking with friends down in Tasmania, which is, oh my God, So gorgeous. But I'd been in moon boots. I'd had hip flexor. I hadn't done much walking. So I started doing some weights to get that up. Went and did the walks. Could hardly walk at some of the end of the walks, but I did it. And that was at that point where I knew that I was ready to start a shift. And that's when I came across you, Kim. I actually had no, I kind of heard about you a little bit because I'd seen you on posts with Amanda and with Dr. Jen Gunter, who I admire immensely. But then I saw your call out for the program and I went, I admire these people. It's all evidence-based, and I know that's what they focus about. And it was just everything aligned, and I went, this is it. This is what the program I want to do.
And so you were at a point in your life where you were ready for change. You were ready to take some steps, and you actually were starting to take those steps, right? Like being like, oh, I want to go do this walk. How can I go and do that? So you're starting to see this change and you're ready to do it, even though you had a lot to work through, right? With the emotional eating and the injury history and you know, all of these things, you're ready to make the change. You see my program, you join. What was your main goal or two with the program when you joined and you're like, I'm going to do this. What was your hope plan to get out of it?
A way of an approach to food and strength, and that I can use for the rest of my life, and an approach to my physical health for the rest of my life. I like, because the one thing I've missed is along the way I found out that I found out before I went into perimenopause that, or probably was in it, that I was osteopenic. And I am now osteoporotic. So, and as my, and knowing that as postmenopausal and the importance of actually building up bone health was really critical for me. Knowing that I also, because of, and I've gone and done, from a cardiac health perspective, I need to improve, my health. Knowing that, too, from my perspective, and I want to be very clear here, is that everyone's breast cancer is, risk is extremely different. But because of my family, and after going and having genetic counseling with it, just knowing that I need to keep my weight, I need to get my weight down to reduce my breast cancer risk significantly. So, and it was also from a mental health perspective, very important for me to get, I know what it's like in my mental health, with perimenopause and postmenopausal, was a bit everywhere, with just with some of the symptoms I was experiencing. And so it was kind of just that really whole approach to my, what I'm going to say, my own body, mind, well-being, the things that I can control and get that back into control, and having tools that are based on evidence to do it.
Well, you did an amazing job really investing in yourself fully during this program. Took advantage of every possible thing you could in the group and were such a contributor to the Fitter After 40 group, which we all appreciated. And actually, Andrea, my assistant coach, and I were talking about the fact that we see in the women in the program who are the most successful, they are the people who are contributing and doing form checks and sharing, like, here's a struggle I had, or here's a meal I made that was useful. Like that part where they're, sharing their experience with others seems to be such a contributing piece to success. Did you notice that in yourself?
I did. Because it really took me out of myself to be able to post up, and being really vulnerable in doing that. And also then, and getting feedback back, and then being able to see and learning also from other people's posts as well, and different perspectives. And it's such an incredible, wonderful, supportive environment. I love it. Like, honestly, I got so much, and I continue to get so much out of it.
And, you know, the community aspect, which is interesting, circling back to kind of where we started the discussion with what you're doing with these menopause cafes, the community aspect of the program is such a huge piece of it for me. It was something that was really missing when I was doing one-on-one coaching with clients. You know, I had clients all over the world and we would talk just the two of us one-on-one. I'd give them their program. They would do it and they were getting phenomenal results. But what came up a lot that they wanted was a community to do this with. And I could see the value in that, which is one of the main reasons I created this. And it's very impactful to have that social support, to see women who you connect with. Maybe their life, there's some that their life situations are super similar, right? They've, you know, have a family history of breast cancer, or they're struggling with osteoporosis, or they're an emotional eater. But there's also women who aren't necessarily anything like you in particular, but just seeing, oh, they struggled with X and here's how they overcame it can really inform how you might approach a particular hurdle.
Absolutely. And I think it's some of those things when you, it's the difference when you look at someone and you have an idea about what they might be and how they are based on, you know, the reality of what they are and going through. And I love, and I, you know, I can't remember exactly what the topic was, but someone mentioned something and I all of a sudden I realized, oh my God, I'm struggling with that too, but it hadn't come out of my subconscious.
Yeah.
And it was just being able, and it was just clicking something into place that then going, oh, that makes sense now. And then being able to maybe let it go.
Yeah.
Or adjust. For it.
That was a real light bulb for you. Yeah. See that happen. I see that happen a lot. So for people who are out there and they're like, okay, so in 8 weeks, she lost over 16 pounds. Like, how, what did she do? Tell everyone what were the behaviors that you were enacting to make that happen?
Putting myself first was a really big one. When I signed up, I don't know if anyone here knows the exchange rates, but it's quite expensive. It was an expensive program for me because of the exchange rate. So one, it was that real commitment. And it was actually going, I really want to do this. I have the space to do it, and making it a priority each day to do it, and continuing that. It took time to invest in it from the outset. And I was really fortunate, I have to say, is that my life was actually, you know, thankfully, you know, quite calm. There wasn't a lot going on, so I could actually do that initially. Wow. And so that made a huge difference. It was the behavioral change for me. So when I mean that, it was getting onto the program, listening to your, you know, the courses, finding out everything, how to set it up so that the programs and tracking the programs work for me. My behavioral change is that I did also do the VIP program with Andrea, and I knew I needed, as an additional support to you, Kim, and I knew I needed that because of just to get me off. I just wanted to make this work. So, and I wanted to do everything that I could. And I knew I had this opportunity for these 2 months. And that was brilliant. Then the other behavioral changes is actually being okay. And I, you know, I initially resisted, you know, the recommendation to weigh myself every day, because previously I didn't have a great relationship with it because I am my weight. I have changed now, because now I recognize that weighing myself every day, it's just a number, because now I've done it for over 3 months. I just see that it actually, my weight at a time and a day is not my weight. It's the weight over the period of the time. And I can't remember what you always say, but it's something like, it's, you look at the long term. So not the day to day. And I see the fluctuations in terms of what I've drunk, what I've ate, you know, and then what it is over a couple of days. So I love that.
And what helped you make the shift from, you know, being hesitant around the scale, not feeling good around the scale, to now being what sounds like really relaxed about the number on the scale. What was it that made that shift?
Andrea and you both said something along the way about it's just a number. It's not who I am as a person, which is important. It's just a number. And actually using it as, it's so not this term, but just using it like a scientific, experiment. That's exactly right. That works for me. And I think with that approach now made such a difference.
Yeah, that approach of looking at it as just data, which I'm sure resonated with you as a person, who was getting her master's and was looking at all kinds of data, being able to look at this piece of your life as data you were collecting, not as, an evaluation of who you were or how you did on any particular day, but it's just, this is a data point. And that part you said about zooming out and looking at the big picture is such a missing piece for so many people. And it's something that can take time to get over. And I'm sure you saw this in the group. There were some women who it took longer because they would be really upset if they weighed themselves and the scale was up that day, right? And then so there was this constant conversation of me asking questions about that. Looking at the bigger picture. Okay, so your weight was up today. What is your weight averaged this week compared to 3 weeks ago? And then they would be like, okay, well, oh, yeah, all right. So it's down, right? And it takes time to practice this new approach. But when you get there, it can be so freeing.
Oh, absolutely. And I love the approach that you take, which is asking the question for us to come up with the answers ourselves as a way of doing it, rather than it's a follow this and it'll all work. And it's actually getting behind it and using the evidence and everything around it. And when you don't know the answer to the questions that we ask, you go and find out by someone who's an expert. And that's, for me, again, as a researcher, is huge. Like, this is why I love it. And I think that's also that behavioral change is when, being with someone who you lead by example, which makes a huge difference.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. Was there any particular part? So in order to lose weight, you really focused on the amount of calories you were eating. You worked on increasing your protein. You worked on becoming more active in your daily life and on doing the strength training. Was there a part of that that was harder than the others for you?
I'm going to say protein initially. I had it in my mind that protein, one, I didn't know I needed that much. And number two, I didn't know, I kind of was thinking, how am I going to get it when I'm not a really big meat eater? I don't necessarily like having meat every day. And I would say that took me a while to get sorted. Now I nail my protein every day. Like, I'm over.
That's fantastic.
Every day.
Oh, good for you. So for somebody who's a non-meat eater, tell us a couple of your top protein sources for
non-meat eater. Non-meat eater, a lot of it is kind of sound like I've gone more into the dairy, which is not great if I know it's not the same if you're a vegan, but there are vegan options as well. Beans as well. Predominantly, I get a lot, but I must admit I am now getting more, protein powder once a day is as much as I try, maybe twice, depending on what I'm doing. I often will do the cottage cheese thing is incredible. You suggested an amazing oatmeal. What do you call it? Protmeal? The baked oatmeal?
Yeah, there's a baked oatmeal. We call it protmeal. Yep.
Protmeal. I love that. Just lots of high protein yogurt I will have as well. Little things that I make. We have an amazing spice mix here called Mama Meatballs spice mix. So I make that into little meatballs for chicken and things. So, it's just really looking at different ways. of doing that. Not sure if
Fantastic.
that's helpful, but I think it is also using, oh, and cottage cheese. Oh God,
Yeah.
cottage cheese. I think I just, I didn't, was it a thing here? Like cottage cheese, like just went so out of fashion here.
That's so interesting. It's having a moment here in the States. Everyone loves it. I've been a long-term lover of cottage cheese, like ever since I was a kid, I've loved it. And it's really having a moment here in the States.
Yeah, so getting into that again. So that's all good.
Fantastic. So tell us where you're at now with emotional eating. How is that going?
Going good in the sense. Some days I may still choose to eat something that might, from an emotional eating, but I don't overeat, if that makes it emotionally. So I've discovered that bocce, do you have the bocce, the little Italian kisses?
No. So is it chocolate?
It's a chocolate. It's an Italian chocolate called a bocce, which is a kiss. And it's dark chocolate with nuts in it and hazelnut. So I'm going, it's got protein in it. So,
So what are you doing instead of eating when you have, these emotional moments, when you're having something and you're struggling, when you're sad or worried or stressed? What other strategies are you using now instead of just food?
So getting back into my self-compassion practice
What does
has
that look
been
like?
huge. Doing self, like joining, if I have the time, a daily self-compassion Zoom group. Through the Center for Mindful Self-Compassion, that's out of the US. That's all based on research. If those of you who know or follow anything to do with self-compassion, it's Kristen Neff and Kirsten Neff. And sorry, that's me. I can never remember whether it's Kristen or Kirsten. So sorry if you're listening. And Chris Germer, who are leading in this space in the US. But also following those practices of also going, I'm just human, and this is just a man, and a moment, and you have to be part of self-compassionate, I'm working through to about what sets me up for a really good day, so that's, the ups and downs are less likely to happen. And that's of get up, throw the ball with my dog, do the weight programming if it's a weight day, and then have breakfast and then go for a long gentle walk, something like that. That sets me up. I find that the more I and that's where and then eating the right food, all of that makes a difference. It's one of the things that I find, like I love coffee. But if now if I have too much coffee, which could just be another coffee, like two coffee, I get too anxious. So that's what I do. But it's also go and I'm lucky, my dog, just go and pat and play with the dog, if I feel like that.
Yeah. Oh, I love all of
But it
that.
still happens. Still happens, but
But that's a good toolbox you have there for you. You have a bunch of different things there, from something as, quick and accessible as petting your dog, to something that's going to take more time, like joining your Zoom group and to specifically work on the self-compassion, to things that are more like daily habits, like doing those four things or so that you mentioned to set yourself up for, a less likelihood of being anxious and overstressed. So that's a fantastic toolbox you have to help with this now.
Yeah. And I think one of the things, which is only now that we're talking about it, which I love these realizations. So I think, well, one of the reasons why I did so well is pretty well always pre-logging my next day. And I find which made a difference because that, like, I'm sorry for those who haven't been through the program, it's pre-logging what I'm going to eat and drink the next day. If it
Yes.
has a calorie and protein element of it, because that reduced some of the anxiety of the stress of it. And I've really noticed that what's happened since finishing Fitter After 40, having to where my mindset's changed. And if I'm feeling a little bit off kilter, it's often that I haven't been pre-logging, so coming back into that.
That is a
And
strategy that my most successful clients across the board use, that pre-logging. And I will say there are a lot of people who feel a lot of friction with that in the beginning, because it feels like, well, that could take a lot of time and effort. And in the beginning, literally like anything else a person does for the first time, it does take more time and effort. Even then, we're talking minutes a day, not hours a day, right? But it does feel like a task. And one of the things I have everybody do at the beginning of Fitter After 40 when they get the appropriate knowledge from me is I say, like, you know, go ahead and set yourself up like one perfect day. What would it look like to practice like pre-logging food? And that can take a bit of time. But and I'm sure you can attest to this, once you've been pre-logging for a bit, it's fast. It's fast and it's easy, and it really does set you up for success.
Oh, yeah, and it does. And it does take time. For me, it took me time, and that's okay because it has been, oh, definitely the dividends have paid off. And I think it's looking at all of that and exploring what works for me and using it in a way. And in the last month, I've just kind of go, I don't want to pre-log my last meal. And then having I was chatting with and Andrea about it, and I should actually post it up in Sass. And I go, like, what's the resistance? And it's kind of, and then before she'd even responded, I'm going, like, yeah, but Felicity, my self-talk. Yes, but Felicity, it's actually makes it easier than to work out what you can and can't do for the rest of the day, even if I change it. And that's exactly what she came back and said, which I loved. So it's the thing of which I love. It's the using it, but not being restricted by it. I think it's, you always say, find a way for it to work for you and to work for your lifestyle. So, and everyone's life and everyone's lifestyle is different. And that's what I've seen you do, time and time again with the people in the group about how to make that happen. And you've done it with me multiple times, whether it's explicitly with me asking a question or me just looking at how you've responded to another person's question, and then how do I respond to that
Yeah,
in
it's
my
really
own mind?
an important piece of becoming a person who eats in a way to support a lower body weight than they are right now, right? Is learning what actually is going to fit long term in your life. And it's not necessarily like, you know, somebody's 10-point checklist. They could just give you like in a quick one-off kind of program, like do these, you know, 7 to 10 things, right? Well, maybe those things don't work in your life. And so part of the work that we do in Fitter After 40 is figuring out for this individual, not just society as a whole, but this individual, what works for them and what doesn't. In terms of following evidence-based principles, like it still has to come back to if weight loss is the goal, we have to get you in a calorie deficit. We need to get your protein up. We need to get you moving and help you strength train. So those are things we need to help you do. But how we actually help you do them is going to be highly, dependent on your particular life circumstances.
Yeah, and the fact that, everyone opens up, if, people open up and share, that's what we all learn from, I think, too. And this is coming back to that, just growing that really supportive, community. I want to say, but it's also a culture. And it's a culture of this is support, we're all unique. And yeah, I got so much from that. And it also goes, I know we haven't spoken too much about the workouts, but it also goes for the workouts too.
Well, tell us a bit about your experience with the workouts, because I will say you really, again, you just went wholeheartedly into figuring out how to do this in your life. So tell us about your experience with the workouts and where you're at with them now.
So I have chosen to do it from home, which I'm saying is, I want to say it's hilarious, but it's hilarious in a good way because it's meant that I've had to go and I'm really glad that I have, because it's, for me, it's taken that ownership of how to build up what I need at home so that I can do it every day. I have no excuse not to do it every day,
It's right there.
it's just right there, and it's getting everything that I need, how to adjust it, how to And because it's just there and working out what I needed, that was like, it sounds strange. Well, maybe it's not strange. That just is, was it. And I think because I'd already had a culture of working out, I already knew the difference. I knew that I wanted to keep my body stronger. I think if anything, and being committed to doing it every day and having it as a routine, makes such a difference. Again, here in Australia, I so want to be in the US sometimes because, you guys have things so much cheaper than here, or you have more diversity than what we have. So sometimes it's been a bit of Facebook Marketplace to get some of the equipment. So I was super excited that I got a chin-up bar for nothing, on Facebook Market. But it's also sometimes doing deals and having to wait for things to come, rather. And that I love because that means that I've got more, again, for me, more engagement when they come and more buy-in for using them. So, and it's the thing of most days, being able to go at it 100%. Some days not being able to for a variety of reasons, and that's okay. And just, going and doing what I can. Kim, your explanations, your videos, gosh, they make such a difference. Going back and checking and rechecking, and then thinking you're still following it, and then posting a form checkup on the site and going like, "Oops, nope, still haven't got it."
Well,
And that's what I
and
really like.
you take the form feedback really well and practice it, and then you get better. And it sounds like a couple of things have really clicked in place here for you. One, really reducing the friction to just get started and make this like a part of your regular practice. And so having that set up in your home, and then really having that buy-in from yourself of like, I've invested time and money in doing this, and so you feel like, okay, like I'm gonna do this. And then also getting confidence by doing the form checks and watching the videos so that you're like, okay, I actually know what I'm doing. So who doesn't feel more motivated to do something that they feel competent in actually doing?
And I think there's so little, absolutely, yes, to all of that. And what I really love too is the thing of, I think just being surprised about how much weight I can use. I think that's always such a surprise. And about how it is just that growth. I think it is. For me, I'm just treating it like that growth and that strength. I don't know, come back and ask me this question. Maybe it, I want to say at the end of the year, but that's not that far away. Mid-next year. Because it is, it's just such that I'm just, it's a growth journey. And that's what it is. I'm continuing to growing and evolve and doing things. So I've just started doing a new program. I'm doing the Fierce program. So this week's all around about learning the new exercises, getting the equipment in. If for those where I don't have it, going really gently, so not expecting much to change. And then next week we'll add weights, if I haven't already, and then I'll start doing form checks with you, because the form check is just so valuable.
I love that. For those who are like, wait, what does she mean? New program called Fierce. So the Fitter After 40 program comes with a workout. It's a 6-week training program. Some people use it 6 weeks, some people use it 8 weeks. Some people go, even a little longer as they're getting things situated. And then when they come into the alumni group, there are other workouts waiting there for them. I create a new workout every month in that group, but I specifically have two workouts I have made and designed specifically for those who have just finished Fitter After 40. There's Fierce Forever Phase One and Fierce Forever Phase Two that build on each other and build on the Fitter After 40 workouts. And so Felicity has moved on to doing Fierce Forever One and is getting set up to be really successful in that workout. I'm excited to watch the progress you make there. What are your main fitness goals now?
I want to do bouldering.
Bouldering. Wow, that's very exciting.
I know. And I have, So that's something I want to do. So I, just need to get the strength up to do it. I need to,
We're
so
going to keep
keep
working
just,
on that upper body strength.
yeah, absolutely. And, so that's one of it. So my goals are just to My overarching goals are really to reduce the risks, my health risks, is a really big one for me. And continuing, and then I know that the program that we're doing is going to help me do that. And then one of the things what I'd love to do is I really want to do bouldering. I just, I would love to maybe go back doing some jogging again. I need to work through a couple of foot issues on that to see whether that's really going to be practical. But when I said I wanted to come back to that,
Yes, yes.
it's been raining a lot here. And I took my dog out for a walk and we started getting caught in the rain. So we jogged back. I jogged for the first time in ages and I got back here and I wasn't even puffing. I went, oh my God, that's amazing.
I can tell by the sound in your voice that that just felt so good and that you were so proud of yourself. And it sounds like maybe a little shocked.
Oh, totally. Oh, totally. I think my
Oh, I'm
dog
so
was shocked
happy for
too.
you. That's a great kind of shock to see, like, wow. In the same way, I could hear it in your voice when you were just so surprised about each week, you can see how much you can lift. And I love that for you. When you see how strong you are, it's fantastic. What a great feeling.
And that's it. It's like, yeah, it's nice to see some changes in my body. It's nice to see the clothes fit in differently. I'm getting more excited out about the and what's I what I'm laughing about sometimes in the early days, the easiest things, to see the change in was actually, cheek bones and maybe a bit of collarbone and my calves getting smaller. So you can't really measure them so well. But it's more that flexibility, it's more that stretch, it's more the ease of doing life on a database. It's more about the fact that, I shoveled nearly seven, mostly by myself, 7 cubic meters of soil, in places, because of I got too much. But it's being able to do that. And like I wouldn't have been able to do that 6 months ago.
We're going to leave it here because that is a fantastic note to end on. I love hearing you say that one of the biggest things that you have gained from all of this is the ease of life, like that this has made your life easier. And that is just phenomenal. You have done that, and I could not be prouder of you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us. Are you crying? I did not mean to make you cry.
I am a little bit, but thank you, because that's really true. Yeah, thank you.
Well, thanks again for sharing your time and your wisdom and being so vulnerable. It's going to help a lot of other women to see what is possible for them.
Thank you, Cam. Thank you for everything.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Fitness Simplified podcast. I hope you found it motivational, inspirational, educational, organizational. If you did find value in this episode today, it would mean a great deal to me if you would leave a rating and review on whatever podcasting platform you are listening to this episode on. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks so much for being here.